This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture with Dina Camilla, Juliet Jacobs and Sumitra Selvaraj. Earlier news that The Blue Planet 2 will be aired for free on Malaysian TV.
But then on to our second story, we're going to be talking about discrimination because of your skin colour. So we're asking you on Twitter, have you ever been discriminated against because of your skin colour? 69% of you say yes, 31% say no. And why are we asking you this question? It's because it's an unfortunate reality that fair, light skin is prized in many communities, right? Certainly in Asian communities, but pretty much all around
all
the world.
Yeah.
And it's reinforced in many ways through stock images, whether it's in commercial advertising or on television. We just see images of normalcy of living and existing that seems to center around whiteness and shows the full variety and humanity of white folks or lighter-skinned people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back in July, Malaysians from all walks of life, able-bodied, disabled, queer, straight, religious, Afro-Asian, they all got together for a photo shoot. The common factor among all of them was that they were all dark-skinned individuals.
Yes, and this project was co-curated by photographers Daniel Adams and Katharia, who wanted to challenge beauty ideals in Malaysia, which they believe remain largely conventional and whitewashed, where light-skinned Pan-Asian and Caucasian talents are usually the top choices for a lot of brands. I don't know, how do you guys feel about that? Do you think that's the case? Do you feel yourselves being represented in the ads you see?
How loudly can I yell yes without upsetting our sound settings and our sound engineers?
I mean, we've spoken
so much about
on air, off air, wherever we have air to breathe so that we can talk.
Yes. Yeah, we ran a Daily Digest story about this a couple of months ago where a local company had requested for models at a casting call, and the kind of the criteria was very, very clear. I don't know if you remember this, Tina. They wanted, I think, North Indian, Eurasian, Chinese or Arabic, something like that, models. Right. And it was the picture that they used was of somebody in a sari. It was clear that the brand was advertising or looking for models to model ethnic wear, but South Indians were not mentioned. People noticed and they called them out in public. And of course, what happened was, you know, there was this big backlash. No, you know, we're just looking for a certain type of person. Say it out. You're looking for fair-skinned persons. Mm-hmm. Well, the company did end up having to take down its Facebook page because the backlash was so vociferous.
Well, that's heartening to hear, actually, that, you know, people actually got up and, well, you guys included, you know, and, you know, it's, call them out for that bit. I will say bad behavior. But anyway, so this project, you know, does want to celebrate dark-skinned individuals. And I spoke to Daniel earlier today about why both he and Kat wanted to work on this project. So Daniel, I mean, tell me about the project. It's named Dark Skin Is... what sparked the idea for this whole project?
So I really like Solange Knowles, and she has a couple of music videos that she's done from her previous album. Mm-hmm. And aesthetically, it was so, so, so beautiful. I wanted to recreate a shoot that was inspired by one of her videos. Mm-hmm. So I approached Kat, Dreamers Rehab, and we did this shoot based on dark skin because we feel like dark skin doesn't get enough appreciation in this country, especially where fairer skin is so much more appreciated and so much more beautified, in a sense. Basically, Dark Skin Is aims to showcase the beauty, power, and diversity amongst dark-skinned people. Mm-hmm. Malaysians in general have love and respect for each other's cultural differences. However, beauty ideals in Malaysia remain kind of conventional and largely whitewashed, especially in industries concerning appearances such as beauty, retail, and fashion.
Right.
So light skin is, and Caucasian talents in general, are usually top choices for a lot of brands. And we kind of want to help to change that perspective to show people how beautiful and how rich in culture and rich in history that dark skin is. And hopefully, possibly open up an avenue for dark-skinned folks to nurture a deeper sense of self-love that will empower them to move beyond the trajectory they've always known.
I think you often see, you know, call-outs for models and they'll put in brackets, you know, Pan-Asian, or there's never an active call for, like, darker-skinned as such. You know, it tends to be, fairer-skinned models that they're looking for. So I guess this is something that you wanted to address as well?
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something that I really get irritated at when a lot of local brands, like, say, the Baju Melayu, like, clothes and stuff, and they always have Caucasian models. So irritating, because that is not the target audience that they're aiming at. And it doesn't relate to the locals at all. And I think it's just a bit ridiculous, because there's so many beautiful, gorgeous local models and such talented, amazing local models as well that can be used. Mm-hmm. But they just aren't, because there's some sort of pedestal that these Caucasian individuals are being put on.
Okay, so let's talk about dark skin age, right? I mean, the photos are beautiful, but, you know, tell me how you actually got the project going. How did you call out for the models who, you know, are from all walks of life, if I'm not mistaken?
So basically, I contacted Kat and we started planning it. It took 4 months and we did kind of like a casting call. So we put up a couple of Insta stories and 85 people got in contact with us.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah, so we had 85 individuals and we had three casting sessions whereby they all came to my house and one by one we saw what they were like in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had conversations with them about what dark skin means to them and how just to see how they interacted with other individuals, because we wanted to see who could interact well with other people in front of the camera, mm-hmm. Just so that there was a nice connection, a nice chemistry in between people. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we had the styling sessions. We didn't actually have any stylists. We tried to style it on our own, but it turned out absolutely disgusting. So we actually got the help of one of the models, Haniza, and TJ, and another individual, Afi, to just help us tie the cloth, because mm-hmm. we weren't so informed about how to tie cloth in such a traditional sense, but they were. So that was really nice that they could help us do that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really liked about this was the models are not only a variety of sizes, but that it includes those who are differently abled as well. And why was that a decision in this whole process?
I think apart from it just being talking about dark skin, we also want to showcase inclusivity. Mm-hmm. So Kat and our work focuses a lot on social and political issues. Mm-hmm. So, and Kat especially, her work is very inclusive. It's very all about creating this space where individuals who aren't showcased as much get this platform to showcase themselves and create stories for themselves. Mm-hmm. So she was very imminent on there being inclusivity, which I absolutely love. So there was individuals from the LGBT community, there were obviously like the males, the females, the mums, the daughters, the differently abled. It was just a really nice mix of people to really showcase that everyone is beautiful mm-hmm. from the dark community. Like everyone is dark and gorgeous and just rich in everything. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, there was also people from, I mean, everyone was Malaysian, but it was also rich with culture and diverse ethnicities. We discovered that there was a pretty big Afro-Asian community. Mm-hmm. Them being well into their 20s shows that they've been around for a while. And it's kind of fascinating because no one's really talked about them. Mm. So there's one image that all of them are African, either mixed African, Malay, African, Indian, and they didn't know about each other.
Interesting.
So when they all met on the day, it was really interesting because they could all relate to the same stories and they were telling the stories and they were all just so happy that they found other people who are similar to them and that they can speak to.
What were some of those stories? You know, when you were getting to know them, I'm sure you asked them about their experiences, I suppose, navigating the waters of racism and things like that, or being discriminated against because of their colour. I mean, did those sorts of things come up as well?
Sometimes, yes. A lot of the stories were more of people around them being fascinated by how dark they were or where they got their darkness from, which was the African side.
Right.
There was one story where it was like, she was always asked, because the mom was Malay Indian, mm-hmm. and the dad was African. And someone came up to her and was like, "Oh, are these your children? Where did you get them from?"
Oh my God.
Yeah. Another girl said that a Chinese lady came up to her on the train and said, "You're so beautiful, but you're too dark. I wish you were fairer."
Wow. People are very entitled, aren't they?
Yeah, no, definitely. And she replied saying, I kind of like the color of my skin, so thanks.
Well, that's great that they had that kind of confidence to say that, you know, that they're this whole project is comfortable in their own skin.
Definitely. I think these individuals, they've definitely struggled with the color of their skin mm-hmm. from everything we've heard, but they have come to love themselves and to cherish the deep, beautiful color that the melanin has given them. Because honestly, like, dark skin is so unbelievably beautiful. Photographing dark skin has this completely different like set of rules. The colors come out so much richer and so much more beautiful, and there's just, I don't know how to describe it really.
So, I mean, why do you think inclusive representation matters so much? And, you know, on a personal level, you know, why does it matter to you to see, I suppose, somebody that looks like you, for example, to also be represented in mainstream, you know, whatever it is, in movies, in ads and things right. like that?
I'm Eurasian, so my representation is out there. Like, it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But coming home, so I was studying in the UK.
Right.
And then I came home 2 years ago, and ever since I've been home, or ever since I've lived in Malaysia, I've gone into H&M, I've gone into Uniqlo, I've always seen these white Caucasian models on the walls, and I relate to my Asian self. I don't really relate to my white self very much. Mm-hmm. I grew up here, I know the culture here, I'm more in touch with all the, even the stereotypes and the superstitions here, I'm so much more in touch with. So I don't relate to the people on the walls, and I'm pretty sure majority of the people in this country do not relate to these individuals on the walls. So just having yourself represented in your home country is something that is really important to me, because you look at these people on the walls and you put them on a pedestal, which is what I did for so long. I put these white Caucasian people on pedestals for so long because I see them on TV. I see them. It's just everywhere.
It's everywhere,
and that's
yeah.
how, that's the beauty standard, and that's what I wish to be like. Whereas I've come home and I realize people, dark-skinned individuals, brown people, just Chinese, Indians, like, that everyone here is just so amazing and different. And our culture is just so rich and deep. I started to appreciate it so much more. It took me going away to realize how beautiful home was. So in that sense, internationally, when you're represented, you have a role model and you have someone to look up to, and you cherish yourself within. You realize how talented and beautiful you can be as well. I mean, obviously, Malaysia has so much more progress. It's a very slow country compared to a lot of the countries in the West or even in Asia in terms of inclusivity, mm-hmm. because I think inclusivity has been going on a lot in Europe for quite a while, mm-hmm. Whereas last year was the first time that a plus-size model walked down the runway in KL Fashion Week.
Yeah.
And this year, it's gone back to the normal, everyday model walking down the runway. There's a lot more progress, but the progress is... It's slow. It's happening, though. There's Dawn Management is one of the modeling agencies in KL, and they represent all the differently abled individuals,
mm.
which is amazing to see, and it's really empowering, I think,
mm-hmm.
To see individuals who have cerebral palsy or in wheelchairs going down the runway or just getting shot photographically. It's really nice to see this difference, and it's not only empowering for them, I think it's empowering for us as well, just to realize, because then we start appreciating and we start normalizing it.
Yeah.
And I think normalizing it is so, so, so important.
So are you kind of hopeful that the industry will begin to take notice, you know, of these sorts of issues and evolve, you know, be more welcoming of, you know, all colors, shapes, sizes, the works?
Honestly, I'm really hoping so. Because I am so fed up of the normal situation, like the situation of the fashion industry now. I'm hopeful, mm-hmm. to say the least, mm-hmm. but... I don't know how fast the progression will be. I don't think that the fashion industry will change anytime soon, especially here. I know it is changing in the US. There's actually an amazing transgender disabled model called Aaron Phillips.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she is taking like the modeling industry there by storm. It's absolutely amazing just to see her kind of break through and showcase herself and stuff. So it would be amazing if that would happen in Malaysia. I don't know whether Malaysians are ready for that. That's the problem. Because, yeah, so as I said earlier, like, the KL Fashion Week last year was really diverse and really, like, there were loads of different people walking down the runway.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this year, it went back to how it usually is. So I don't, and a lot of the models at KL Fashion Week said that as well. So I don't really know what's happening there.
Right.
But I went to a Sicily show a couple of weeks ago, and that was incredible because it was the most diverse show I've ever seen in my life. There were plus-size models, there were skinny models, there were pregnant models, there were dark-skinned models, there were fair-skinned models. It was just really nice to see so many people represented on stage and so many different body types.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
That's
reality.
Yeah, it's reality, exactly. Like, that's how society is.
Mm.
And to see a representation of society on stage is exactly what we need.
So that was Daniel Adams, a photographer and co-curator of the project Dark Skin Is... Coincidentally, the project was selected to be exhibited in New York under a project called Pursuit of Portraits. And that's actually happening
very nice.
Yes, this weekend. And something else that Daniel mentioned was that both he and Kat received a lot of feedback about the project from Malaysian Indians, actually, who were so pleased to see themselves, you know, being represented in a photo shoot like this. And I guess there does seem to be a severe lack of representation of dark-skinned people in the media. And, just going on that, I wanted to ask the both of you as well, what I asked Daniel as well, why does inclusive representation matter so much?
Well, I'm just thinking about going to the hair salon and flipping through magazines, finding a model that has my hair and
yes.
see whether the face fits my face, the haircut fits my face,
you know what
I mean? Just simple things like that, making decisions about your life and your haircut.
Very important decision.
Very important. And even when we look at, for example, clothes, right? I want to see clothes on people who are built like me, who have hips like me, who are not a typical size, because I want to know what the fit is going to look like.
Exactly.
And why should I not have the option of being able to see models of different sizes?
Mm. And that's exactly the thing, right? Not everyone looks the same. Everything is so diverse. Everyone is so diverse. So why can't we have that same diversity in modeling shoots? I don't know. I mean, there was this... Sorry, you wanted to say something.
I was just going to say, so we've given two examples. The other example, which ties back to this story, is, of course, makeup, right? For the longest time ever, if you were darker skinned, who would you look to be able to look at makeup tips from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank God for YouTube now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
And Rihanna.
I was just going to say,
sorry,
and Rihanna.
How could I forget Rihanna? There's this one story that I remember. A former White House photographer, he captured an image of a young boy who was just about 5 years old who wanted to know if his hair texture really did match that of President Barack Obama. So I guess it's something along the lines of you can't become what you can't accurately see.
Absolutely. And I remember that photograph was so endearing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wonderful. That admiration that, like, oh my God, you're real. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So you can keep the conversation going by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll be back shortly with your comments on social media. That's coming up after Not Fade Away by Rolling Stones, BFM 89.9.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's Tina, Juliet and Sumitra. We're wrapping up the Daily Digest this hour. Today, Lee Chui Lin, host of Skip Intro, weighed in on the rising interest in documentaries. That's on the back of news that Blue Planet 2 will be aired on Malaysian TV next month.
We had one social media comment from Sarah, who WhatsApped in. She said, I enjoyed March of the Penguins when I was younger. Made me go like, whoa, penguins also like that. And my sister became more protective of penguins after watching the movie. But it really depends on interest. Now, I wouldn't sit down to watch a full-length documentary about war, political history. Well, to each their own. Mm-hmm. But documentary with animals and nature feels heartwarming, but also heartbreaking, while also being informative. There you go.
Okay.
Interesting.
And in our second story, we also spoke to photographer Daniel Adams, who co-curated the photography project called Dark Skin Is... which featured a diverse range of people, differently abled, you know, different orientations, all sorts of things. But the one common factor was that they were all dark skinned. And yeah, the aim for that project, of course, was to sort of bring dark-skinned people into the mainstream, because that doesn't seem to be happening.
Mm. So we asked you on Twitter, have you ever been discriminated against because of your skin colour? And 69% of you said yes, 31% said no. And we had a couple of comments as well that I'd like to share. Jasmine says, all the time for being mixed race and for my name. Perhaps she's referring to her surname. I'm not too sure. We had another comment in saying that sometimes by own species, which has a bit fair pigmentation. Yes, sometimes we are our own worst enemies.
Definitely.
And we had one final comment saying, being an Indian a whole load of time, which was something that was echoed in the interview that you did earlier, Juliet, yeah, where the photographer Daniel and Kat, they both said that they got a lot of feedback from Malaysian Indians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to see themselves on all over social media, all over the news, and hopefully all over New York and beyond.
Yes.
Onto bigger, better things.
Absolutely. That's right. And that's all from us today on the Daily Digest. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast from bfm.my/dailydigest from our BFM app, or find us on Spotify. Front Row is next. Sharmila Ganesan will be discussing the Malaysian debut of the award-winning play Constellations, and also an art exhibition, Transience and Transformation. That's after the 3 p.m. news. To take you there, here's Spirit by the Waterboys, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.